Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
So the Sixers are staying in Philadelphia.
Speaking of weasels,
after all that.
What a charade.
Stunning turn of events, as they're calling it. Some council members saying they got played, we got played. Philadelphia 76ers announced they will remain at the sports complex in South Philadelphia instead of building that brand new Beatty Big basketball arena in Center City.
So whose political influence played off? Whose pockets were greased? Who's walking around feeling like they got the best of it today? Anybody? Anyone?
This was the plan all along.
From Comcast officials?
Yes. This was the plan. Like this whole thing, I'm so disgusted by this whole thing. Look, at the end of the day, I don't care.
Well, neither do I.
I never cared if they moved down there or not. But just be honest about it.
Yeah.
And this whole thing reeked of dishonesty.
I told you, I didn't really ultimately care about the story. I'm not a season ticket holder. I'm not a city resident. You can watch these things at home. The TV experience is better. By the time it's done, Embiid will be in a wheelchair anyway. The whole bit, right? But like when I took my girls to Disney on Ice during the holiday break. And I got to tell you, like, yeah, the outside of it, the Wells Fargo Center is kind of a concrete eyesore at this point. Maybe just do like a facelift on the outside, because inside it's still a nice venue.
It is.
You know, there's nothing wrong with it on the interior.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
So, the deal, we're told, it is based on a deal struck with Comcast. Spectacor comes more than 2 years after the team had originally proposed the new arena for Center City, the NBA, the NFL, helping to broker this deal, this agreement, which ended the franchise's second attempt to have a home of its own. And so in this one, we're told that Comcast is hoping to transform the sports complex into a year-round destination for work and play. That $2.5 billion proposal calls for new retail and restaurants, a music venue, a hotel. So the plan doesn't specifically call for a new arena, but does leave room for one. So Comcast recently completing that $400 million overhaul of what you just referred to, Nick Cale, the Wells Fargo Center, where the Sixers are currently playing. So what's going to happen here? Because we've heard, you know, I mean, the main cheerleader after all those town halls, Mayor Sherelle Parker, she strongly supported the arena project.
Yeah.
Because she supported pumping, you know, billions of dollars into the so-called, you know, the area of Market Street.
Mm-hmm.
And so will they do that and do something, especially with Macy's leaving?
Ah,
which
that's
true. Remember, we just announced that.
Yeah, the Wanamaker.
The Wanamaker building will be, you know, and this is history, more than 100 years. So what does this look like? I know that Comcast had purchased multiple buildings. You know what I mean? Along Market Street.
Mm-hmm.
So what does this look like? And will they still go through and try to do a development plan and get others involved?
Let me ask you this, because it's Comcast and, you know, it's NBC and NBC Universal. Do you think any of this, I'm guessing the answer is no, because we talked about MSNBC being sold off and spun off by Comcast and NBC. Do you think any of this is connected to where they are as a company right now, Dawn? Or is that media television thing completely separate from this?
Completely separate.
Okay.
Comcast is, I mean, they're one of the wealthiest corporations, and they have, the Roberts family, they are committed to, they love Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody could maybe pump some money into the Market Street area and help out Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's what we're going to hear from Mayor Parker at 11 o'clock today. But I don't, you know, I know that a lot of the Chinatown advocates are thrilled with this news. Mm-hmm. But I will say I'm personally hopeful that we still can, you know, we can still revive the so-called fashion district. The Market Street used to be a thriving area.
I think that's the kind of the juggling act here between those that are really interested in the story, those that are affected, those that live in the area or work there or commute there. It's, you know, the economy and the tourism are the pluses that it'll do for the area versus the parking and the traffic and the congestion and the nightmare as the negatives. So, I mean, those are the kind of people I would like to actually speak to is like, what do you think about this? Because as somebody that lives in Montgomery County that never goes down that way unless it's for an outing, you know, doesn't really change my life. Greg, Bucks County. Dawn, you're the city resident, right? But except
yeah, but I would argue
it's not taxpayer funded, right? Or well, it wouldn't have been.
This would not have been, but I would argue that we all benefit from this. I would say no matter where you are in the suburbs, we all benefit. And as well, we used to be in the city every single weekend in Center City, I mean. And so to revive this and to figure out a game plan and kind of revitalize Market Street East, Market East, mm-hmm. I think is awesome, not just for Philadelphia, but also the surrounding suburbs.
You know what? If it makes you happy, I'm rooting for it to happen, Dawn.
Thank you.
Yes.
What a good husbandy response. Is that a word?
What the hell's the difference?
They won't makes be, you happy, baby.
They won't be using it in April and May anyway because both teams that occupy that building stink.
So we'll get to it and we'll know more today at 11 what they're going to do. So we do have this morning just checking up on four Philadelphia police officers hospitalized, injured after that illegal car meetup ended in a crash and injuries. So police saying this all started right in front of the Target there on Monument Road. It's on City Avenue, what we used to call City Line Avenue, that Target right across from NBC 10, basically.
Yeah, it's by the where we used to be radio station-wise.
Yes.
Yep.
So at least 50 vehicles when police show up, because it's on the Philadelphia side, at least 50 vehicles disperse, and some of them driving quite recklessly. Police followed several of those cars to Broad and Tioga all the way to North Philadelphia, other police apparently joining in to figure this one out. And so some of these cars driving, according to witnesses, officers, driving at a very fast rate of speed. And it sounds like they were essentially a game of chicken where they, you know, turned into the lane of the officers, turned on the officers driving directly toward the responding officers, you know, whose sirens and mm-hmm. lights were going, etc. And so at one point, at least one of those police cars and it swerved, crashed into a pole.
Oh, jeez.
So three of the officers suffered leg and arm injuries. They're in stable condition this morning. It looks like the fourth officer also in stable condition. So they were able to take and arrest four people who are in custody.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, a usual suspect, one of the guys in a red Camaro, they tracked him down to Delco, Upper Darby area. And so that car had been stolen, big surprise, with the license plates tags switched at least two times overnight.
Jesus.
According God. To law enforcement.
I'm so sick of these vehicular meetups, you know, whether it's the cars. We had that stretch with those, what was it, the ATVs or the dirt bikes. Man, I just wish police could just have open season on these scumbags. Like, I don't even understand the object. Like, what are they trying to accomplish? They just want to be disruptive? You know, like, what is the end goal here of 50 cars in a Target parking lot?
Yeah, I guess it's their idea of fun. To go into the Target parking lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know.
It's unbelievable.
I really don't even know. So we'll get to that one. There's so much going on locally, nationally. I will just give you the headlines as far as the national news. This is, first of all, the death toll has risen in the California wildfires to 24 with at least 16 people still missing. So we have a lot to report on that one. The Santa Ana winds, unfortunately, expected to take hold again and strengthen. So firefighters bracing and a lot of politics, reportedly, between the mayor and the fire, you know, the fire chief there, the fire commissioner. So we'll get into all of that with California. I'll point out to you that even during last night's Eagles game, you probably saw all of the fundraising going on for the Red Cross. On social media, there were many who were concerned about those struck by the hurricanes and the floods in the Carolinas. And so we'll get into that this morning, giving you the headlines as far as it is frigid in the South right now, where the FEMA money ran out for people who are homeless, who are in a trailer. And in North Carolina, they made an announcement over the weekend to add insult to injury, saying even if your property was, you've lost it completely, your taxes, remember property taxes, mm-hmm. are due.
Yeah.
And then with FEMA, some of those deadlines, the money running out for people. And many in the Carolinas saying, why are we forgotten? You're talking about movie stars in Hollywood and, you know, saying, remember us.
I said this to my wife yesterday because we watched, you know, the football Saturday and Sunday. Every network, every game, redcross.org/Fox/CBS if you'd like to donate. Really is amazing the difference in the way the media covers it, because it's L.A.
Yep.
versus, you know, back road towns in North Carolina, right?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Venue matters to the media.
And then the other piece of it, I know we'll get into it this week, I believe at least 13 different confirmation hearings. And some of the headliners are, of course, Pete Hegseth tomorrow for your Tuesday. And then for Wednesday, that'll be Pam Bondi. So I know we'll go through that this morning. I just want to give you some headlines of what's expected moving ahead. And Pete Hegseth already, you can see the media locally, nationally, taking those hits at Pete Hegseth. So that's going to be we can expect some fireworks on these, but I believe a total of 13, and a lot of Trump news too. Let's get to, speaking of which, Newtown Athletic Club, because 1 week from today, of course, that's where we will all be here, be at Kale and Company, hoping you join us. But it's go time for your fitness. The Newtown Athletic Club, or NAC, N-A-C, Bucks County. The NAC really offers a variety of family-friendly gym memberships to accommodate every single stage of your life. From youth to, think of your kids' summer camps, they have awesome kids' summer camps, active aging, young families too, yes, empty nesters. Or maybe you just got a divorce and you want to look good before you date again. I don't know. Go to the NAC. Schedule a visit. Go to NewtownAthletic.com. I know they were cheering on our Eagles.
Eagles.
Yes, Philadelphia Eagles. And we started out by saying that. But victory, maybe there were times when we wish it had been a little more definitive. But exciting news as we find out tonight, right?
Yes.
Who we play,
yep,
next Sunday at 3.
Rams-Vikings winner will come to Philadelphia. That's correct.
And so...
Commanders play Detroit.
Okay.
Yep.
And so we find out tonight,
mm-hmm.
and then it's 3 p.m. on Sunday.
Oh, is that confirmed? So we got the late game Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it'll be the early game, because the late game Sunday is at 6.
Yep.
So yeah. That's better for, I always look at that and go, good.
Good, yeah. That way I can go into a coma at halftime of the second game and get up in time to do our show. Because we're going to have to be up even earlier next Monday.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
A little commute. We're not getting a hotel Sunday night, are we, Stalker?
No.
No, I didn't think so. Figured I'd ask.
One could hope.
Drive. For God's sake.
But yes, we'll be at the NAC. Kale and Company, News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:17 Monday morning. Let's get to another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it is brought to you by Wawa. Be gone, Juan, and hit the road, Jack. The lawfare against Donald Trump is officially over. The weaponized government of Biden's DOJ against their political rival has officially crashed and burned. Closure. But in reality, we should be ecstatic. We should actually be thankful. It was every liberal prosecutor and judge with a political agenda and vendetta that helped 45 become 47. News coming down late Friday morning that the years-end witch hunt funded by taxpayers has ended as Alvin Bragg and Judge Juan Merchan handed out a sentence labeled, quote, an unconditional discharge. So what does this mean? It means they can label Trump a convicted felon and nothing more. And nobody in the world other than those with TDS will really give a damn if you think about it. I actually believe this will be overturned on appeal. But the truth is, for 9 years, the media told you this is the dagger to Trump. every single time, aha, we got him, they all failed. Democrats, judges, district attorneys in the media, federal agencies, the Department of Justice, and attempted assassins. And they made America look like a joke in the process. So what does this mean for Trump? Well, no prison, no probation, and no conditions. Here's Fox News legal analyst Andy McCarthy, a former federal prosecutor himself, breaking it all down. Listen and watch.
Finality for the goose is finality for the gander.
Yeah.
Final means it's over, which means Merchan doesn't have any jurisdiction over this case anymore. It's going up on appeal. The case is over. That's what they said they wanted. They needed to impose sentence here so he could enter the judgment, and that would be the end of the case. To my mind, the end of the case means it's the end of Merchan's jurisdiction to tell President Trump anything. He'll just have to wait for the next case.
Yeah. Jonathan Turley, legal scholar with Fox News, tweeted the following thread on Friday saying, quote, Merchan appears to be making the case in his own defense and insisted that this case is no different from any other case in New York. It is a case being made long after the jury has left the courthouse. This is like Dr. Frankenstein telling his creature that he is just like any other man, stitching together this case from a dead misdemeanor and declined federal charges is anything but ordinary. Trump has now been sentenced to no jail, no probation, no punishment. The pin has finally deflated a case that has been sustained for years on a mix of hot rage and rhetoric. The ultimate verdict concerns the New York legal system itself in allowing this sentencing to occur. Merchan admitted that this was an extraordinary case, but insisted that it was handled in an ordinary fashion, like other cases in New York. Really? If so, that is a chilling thought, that you do not require a unanimous decision on what actually occurred in this case. End quote. Here was Turley expounding upon those thoughts further on Fox News. Listen and watch.
I think the ultimate verdict that will come in today is not the verdict the jury delivered months ago, but a verdict on the New York court system. This is going to be the final gavel fall on a system that allowed it to be used for political purposes, for the weaponization of their once vaulted legal system. And New York used to be the premier system, and many of us are still in astonishment as to how this legal system allowed these cases to go this far. You know, the fact is that the lack of any real punishment really does capture the absence of substance to this case. I mean, this case has always been more inflated than the the Goodyear blimp. I mean, that you now have a president who will walk away and go to the White House. But I have to say that I think that Merchan will guarantee that his court walks into a degree of infamy with this decision. This was a made-up crime that should never have been allowed to go to trial. He then had layers of reversible error in order to get this to the point of today, where he could call the incoming president a convicted felon. But I think the judgment will be far harsher for the New York court system than it will be on President-elect Trump. I think there's a very good chance that this could be reversed. There's not a lot of hope that the New York court system will redeem itself. I'm still, quite frankly, always an optimist that there'll be someone who says, for the love of God, let's you know, make it clear you cannot engage in lawfare in New York. But at the end of the day, this peddler's wagon of reversible errors is going to pull up in front of the United States Supreme Court. And I think they're going to find it a very hard case to make in front of those justices.
This was an embarrassment for New York City, because in law, the term precedent is paramount. And these characters established an absurd precedent that I hope is never used again. Political party be damned. And it's hard to believe that this could occur in the United States of America, but it has. One man chomping at the bit is Kash Patel. Here's what he had to say this weekend about the fallout that is possible to occur in the coming weeks and months. Listen and watch.
I mean, this is so unprecedented. It's just amazing that he would say that. It's shockingly unconstitutional, Trace. It's great to be with you. And I'm here to announce on your show a measure that I'm working with Congress that should be Congress's bread and butter. And I'm calling for the subpoenas to be issued to Judge Merchant's daughter's company, who made $15+ million from the illicit information pouring out of her father's courtroom. I want to know the bank records, because money doesn't lie. Yep. I want to know how deep it is and how much of it went to the family and how much of it is going to the family after this false conviction. And then we need to investigate the FEC actual violations that this judge and his family conducted, because he should never have been overseeing this trial to begin with because of the illicit campaign money that was flowing through there. And the unconstitutional due process violations are only the beginning. So America is calling for accountability of our judicial system, and Congress is the only lever that has it. And I'm hoping for one or two brave members of Congress that I'm talking to issue those subpoenas ASAP.
And then there's nothing more embarrassing than what occurred late Saturday afternoon as the news came down that special counsel Jack Smith resigned after a 2-year stint with the Department of Justice. AG Merrick Garland's hired hitman, running like the coward he is, with just a week before Donald Trump takes office. Smith dropped the cases against Trump in November after Trump won the election. And now Smith rides off into the legal sunset after blowing close to $50 million in taxpayer money as he attempted to imprison Donald Trump for the rest of his life. Smith was appointed to the role in November of 2022 to head up not only the J6 case, but also the classified documents case at Mar-a-Lago. The resignation comes a day after a federal judge blocked the release of Smith's report, ending the biggest banana republic third world nation lawfare case we have seen, perhaps, of all time. Trump posting on Truth Social, quote, "The stench of deranged Jack Smith and his thugs is gone," in all capital letters. And so are the rest of these biased, corrupt actors. Alvin Bragg, Juan Merchan, Letitia James, Arthur Engoron, Fannie Willis, Nathan Wade, Jack Smith, Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, who was on 60 Minutes last night, Ryan Wesley Ruth, Thomas Matthew Crooks. You all took your shots, and you all failed. And the man who received more votes a third time around than he did in his second run or his initial run is still standing, because America spoke. You made Trump more popular. You made him the outlaw president, as Sean Farish would say. You made him a martyr. And you made him the 47th president of the United States of America. And in just 7 days, those who have voted for him or love him, supported him, or even voted for him by default will feel ultimate vindication 1 week from today. And that's the Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Wawa. Right now, Wawa members can get a bonus offer for $1. How about that? $1 any size hot coffee, $2 iced coffee, and $3 Monster Energy 16-ounce drinks. Not a rewards member? Now is the time to join. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Your thoughts and reaction: Juan Merchan case Friday, Jack Smith resignation on Saturday. You can certainly do so on social media at 1210 WPHT and, of course, in the YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT. It's Kale and Company, and we continue live on a Monday morning. Nick Thorne and Greg back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we are talking today about the brand new Honda Prologue. It is Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of almost 300 miles on a single charge. And a fast charge time, you can cruise the roads worry-free with three charging options to choose from, including the always great portable charging kit for when you're on the go. Because life is all about being on the go, right? Wife, girlfriend, kids, job, side activities, side hustles, you name it. The charging kit is a great feature. You can lease the Prologue today for as low as $229 per month. How about that? $229 a month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne to check them out right now for details. Or you can shop online conveniently right from your laptop as you're watching the show in your underwear. PiazzaHonda.com. Tell them Nick Kale sent you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
You can get. Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get us on the free Odyssey app. Also, get on over to YouTube. We've got some incredible videos and some visual graphics to show you when we get to the California wildfires and what's going on in Los Angeles here in a couple of minutes. But, Dawn, I wanted to get your thoughts on this because I know this came down right around the end of our show, and I know you were tracking it. Maybe you even carried a little bit of it on Friday. Mm-hmm. So we've got Juan Merchan on Friday. We've got Jack Smith on Saturday. And really, I guess I'll just start with the Merchan stuff from Friday. So you have no punishment whatsoever, right? No probation, no community service, no fines, no jail time. So there's no punishment. And I'm looking at this from the Alvin Bragg, Juan Merchan political vendetta agenda. So you've got no punishment. Trump did not lose the election. But you get to label him for now a convicted felon. But you know, when this is going to go all the way up to the top on appeal, and most legal experts believe there are plenty of reversible errors. And oh, by the way, the most embarrassing part of all of this is that all of the legal experts, networks be damned, said that this was a terrible precedent. It's not just Jonathan Turley and Andy McCarthy that I played for you in the Big Take. Ellie Honig from CNN, the legal analyst over on MSNBC. They all said that this was a shoddy, fraudulent case. And yet guys like Alvin Bragg and Judge Juan Merchan, they didn't seem to care. And like, I don't know, I would think that, well, maybe the motive is, well, I get to put this on my resume. But if your peers don't respect you for it, was it really worth it, Dawn?
I
would say no.
I think for them, when, and I was looking back at the, you know, the timeline last week, and especially after the announcement late last week about that Merchan knows it's over, but he wanted to get that in there. So on one hand, I'm glad that it's out of that New York court, the local court's hands. I'm glad that now it'll be up to an appeals court. And who knows, they could kick it up. I believe they could even kick it up to a federal court. They may try that too. But I just feel like what they tried to do, and you remember the timing of it because it was the actual charges arrived 2 weeks after Trump clinched the GOP nomination with all the delegates. So he clinched mid-March, and then we saw the charges come down within 2 weeks of that.
Yep.
And I just think, just from that aspect, just the timeline, why would you wait when you have, what, 7+ years you had, if you had a problem with the bookkeeping going on here? And so it's just so obvious, I think, to us at least, to the most of the country, that it was persecution. Mm-hmm. And I think, in truth, when that happened, what they didn't realize was that we all saw through it.
Yeah.
And I think that you, if you have a brain, you look at that and you say, wow, these guys are going after somebody who's a former president, raided his house. The guy just clinched the nomination, and you're going after him on this like trumped up ridiculous charge.
Right. Yep.
It's like Turley said, made up. It was concocted.
Yeah. And they tried in so many jurisdictions, from Florida to Georgia to D.C. to New York City. And it's the New York taxpayers that have probably got to be a little ticked off. I mean, could you imagine if this was playing out in Philadelphia? Was the venue, and you as a city resident had to pay, I think it was close to $47 million in taxpayer money towards this sham of a trial. I mean, you talk about, I mean, you think you get outraged over money going to Ukraine. Imagine that money going to, you know, all of these court cases or one specific court case. And then, of course, there's the money on top of it that is made by Mershon's daughter. Right. You heard Kash Patel say there in that clip about investigating the with the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, and seeing where exactly this money was going. I mean, she made over $15 million in the end. So a lot to unpack with that. I don't expect anybody to ever be held accountable, but, you know, we'll certainly keep you up to date with it.
Yep. Nick, I would just say this, that it would not surprise me as far as, do I think that Judge Juan Mershon actually benefited monetarily, it would not surprise me.
No.
if he never had any monetary type motive, but rather that this is how they feel, that they feel like, get Trump, just like Letitia James campaigned on, mm-hmm. get him, evil. And so there's this cult-like mindset where they felt like, no matter what, at all costs, mm-hmm. get him, take him down,
yep.
even when they knew he was the GOP nominee.
Right.
And I think that's, to me, I can't let go of that. They hate us. They hate us.
Mm-hmm.
They demonized us from the very tip-top, from President Joe Biden, right here in Philadelphia. I talk about that all the time.
Yeah, the backdrop.
To this day. And so I just think we can never forget that, because mm-hmm. that's their mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. All right. So let's go from New York and court cases to wildfires in California. We've got a lot of backstabbing. We've got a lot of politics going on between Kristen Crowley and Karen Bass, Gavin Newsom, Donald Trump. But before we get to the political nastiness of this, my buddy, Athan Koutsourambis from Real Clear Politics, he's a total nerd, but I love him. I say that as a term of endearment. And he broke down the L.A. fires on social media yesterday just to kind of give you a visual of what this is like if this was playing out here in our state of Pennsylvania. If you're not on YouTube yet, I want to throw up these graphics. So get on over to youtube.com/@1210WPHT. So the LA fires destroyed nearly 41,000 acres or 64 square miles. That's the scale of the disaster. And as Athan says, it's mind numbing. And he says, what would it look like in Pennsylvania if that played out? Just to kind of give you a visual of just how devastating this is. Phil, let's roll through these K-10 through K-18. This is right here. This would be Philadelphia. So essentially, the wildfires that California is dealing with, if this occurred in the Philadelphia area, 41,000 acres or 64 square miles, it would wipe out nearly all of Philadelphia. You can see the highlighted section on the map here from Citizens Bank Park all the way up to Pennypack Park. It would have wiped out most of Philly. Then you go to the Lehigh Valley. From Dorney Park to Easton, Pennsylvania, where I grew up, right along the banks of the Delaware River, all of the Lehigh Valley would be gone. Let's go continue here. What about Wilkes-Barre, Scranton? Joe Biden's hometown, right? You see all the different little municipalities in that section that is highlighted. All of that would be gone. How about most of our state capital? Harrisburg, gone. Or what about on the west coast of Pennsylvania, the left coast? Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That would be gone. Or Erie, Pennsylvania. Or if you're a Penn State fan, State College. Or Lancaster. Or how about all of Delaware County? Gone. I mean, this is, and I don't know what needs to happen here, but when you see people like Karen Bass and Kristen Crowley and Gavin Newsom all in panic mode, not panic mode for losing lives, losing property, being the joke and the butt of the joke of the country right now, but they're all fighting for their political and professional futures at this point. And this is what always happens. they eventually turn on each other. I want to play you this. This is clip case six, Phil. This is Kristen Crowley. Earlier over, I think this was Friday into Saturday, she throws Karen Bass and the elected leaders of Los Angeles and California under the bus. And then she goes on CNN with Jake Tapper and doubles down. So this is a montage of two different clips. K6, Kristen Crowley in self-preservation mode. Listen and watch this.
Justifiably, what the fire department needs to operate to meet the demands of the community.
Did they fail you?
That is our job. And I tell you, that's why I'm here. So let's get us what we need so our firefighters can do their jobs.
Did they fail you?
Yes.
Let me be clear. The $17 million budget cut and the elimination of our civilian positions like our mechanics did and has and will continue to severely impact our ability to repair our apparatus. So with that, we have over 100 fire apparatus out of service. And having these apparatus in the proper amount of mechanics would have helped. And so it did absolutely negatively impact. I want to also be clear that I have, over the last 3 years, been clear that the fire department needs help. We can no longer sustain where we are. We do not have enough firefighters. With that, I have also requested multiple budgets, interim budgets, to show how understaffed, under-resourced, and underfunded the LAFD is.
So there is the LAFD fire chief, Kristen Crowley. Now, a report came out from the Daily Mail on Friday that the fire chief was fired. That was Kristen Crowley. But the mayor's office told ABC 7 in Los Angeles that Crowley still had her job. The office's official statement to the outlet said the pair met without any reference to whether Crowley remained in her position. But ABC 7 reporter Josh Haskell added on social media that the mayor's office had officially denied the claims that Crowley had been fired. It seems to be to me like there's one of these things going on where she spoke up, and then she spoke out again, and somewhere in between the first and the second public voicing of displeasure, there was a meeting, and it seems to me like maybe they wanted to fire her, but they can't, or maybe they were thinking about fire, and they walked it back, or maybe there will be a resignation at some point to kind of ease tensions. But I got to say this, if this is true, and Kristen Crowley is saying, I needed X, Y, and Z, and I told you multiple times, I'm actually going to defend the DEI hire, Kristen Crowley, and put this on the people above her. Karen Bass, Gavin Newsom, any other elected official in charge of budgets, anybody that is slashing budgets, anybody that is reallocating resources. I don't know that you can blame Kristen Crowley. Or I believe there are two other, quote, lesbians in the L.A. fire department in the higher ranking positions. I believe there are 3 out of 14 high ranking officials. So we can sit here because, in my opinion, the more I read about this story, this is not like the girl or the lady, I should say, with the holster for the Secret Service when Trump got shot, where she like fumbling around with her gun. Like, I don't think you can put any blame on Kristen Crowley here. It's not like these fires would be put out if they were men. This is a management and leadership failure at the top. And I think it's Crowley and those that are out there on the front lines that are basically on the receiving end of fire, so to speak. And that's probably unfair, right? Because it doesn't matter if I'm a guy or if I'm a lesbian. If I don't have the resources available, I'm not going to be able to put out these fires, right? So this is a Gavin Newsom, Karen Bass failure. And I really do think that somebody like Karen Bass should probably resign. I don't know if you saw any of the news that she was doing over the weekend. She was doing more media appearances. Yeah. She's always smiling.
Mm-hmm. We have.
What is there to be smiling about?
We have Karen Bass. She was asked about if she would fire the L.A. Fire department chief over her TV appearance criticizing the $17 million budget cuts. This is cut 14, Phil, if you want to roll this.
Are you planning to fire her? Were you angry with her over her media appearance?
Oh, my goodness.
And do you agree with her that the fire department is very underfunded?
Let me just say that, as you see here, the chief and I are lockstep in our number one mission. And that mission is to get us past this emergency right now. We want to make sure that we save lives, we save housing, we save businesses, and if there are differences that we have, we will continue to deal with those in private. Thank you. No.
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 I will not fire her, but the city of Los Angeles and the voters and the residents will likely fire me come re-election time. She is god-awful at her job. She is another one that is a terrible speaker, another one that just goes up there tone deaf to everything, smiling. She's got almost the Kamala, like, it's that weird crutch. I don't know if they're even aware that they're doing it. It's just so socially awkward. And I know that California is super, super left. And I know Los Angeles is very progressive. But my God, we rejected that in Philadelphia. Like, we said, all right, I guess Sherelle Parker's the best option on the Democrat side because we know a Republican hasn't been mayor since 1952. But that's the best that Los Angeles could trot out for the Democrat side of things? Really?
Yeah, and I would say for Kristen Crowley, I mean, when I looked at her background, she grew up in Wisconsin. She was a student athlete, St. Mary's College, Notre Dame, goes to school to be an orthopedic surgeon. So a college grad goes out to California and has an internship with the fire department. Being from a family of firefighters, there's something about that fire, you know, the camaraderie, and I can see where a student athlete, but she fell in love, but she's been a firefighter for, I believe, 24, 25 years of her life.
She could very well be completely qualified to have that position. I mean, we just assume DEI hire because she's a lesbian. Karen Bass is the one that looks inept, not Kristen Crowley. To your point, she's got a quarter century of experience.
Yeah, and she was a battalion chief before. She had been an engineer, a fire marshal, and, you know, started out as a firefighter. So literally worked her way up the ladder.
Yeah.
So it seems to me like Crowley has, you know, the respect of her, you know, fellow firefighters, and she kind of earned her, you know, earned the job, if you will.
Yeah. I don't know about respect, though, when it comes to the governor, Gavin Newsom. Now Newsom is ordering a probe. This is according to the L.A. Times, latimes.com, if you want to read the story. Newsom ordering a probe into why the Pacific Palisades Reservoir was, quote, offline during the fires. Matt Hamilton's the journalist for the LA Times. He writes the following. He says, a large reservoir in Pacific Palisades that is part of the Los Angeles water supply system was out of commission when the ferocious wildfire destroyed thousands of homes and other structures nearby. Officials say that the Santa Ynez, I believe that's how you pronounce it, Y-N-E-Z, probably butchered it, but the Santa Ynez Reservoir has been closed since about February of 2024 for repairs to its cover, leaving 117 million gallon water storage complex completely empty in the heart of the Palisades for nearly a year. So now Gavin Newsom can put out his little posts on his X feed saying it's misinformation. This isn't Trump saying it was empty. This is the paper that probably endorsed Gavin Newsom saying it was empty.
So apparently there's a water chief who oversaw the emptying of the Santa Ynez Reservoir. This person makes $750,000 a year. Her name is, let me see here, Janice Quinones. She was on a recent podcast recently,
okay,
where she said that her number one goal, the number one thing she cared about in her role, was equity. Roll this.
Equity. You call it powered by equity, and I know that it's been really important for the DWP to put an equity lens on everything.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the number one thing that attracted me to this role. Mm. Coming from the communities that I come, seeing what I've seen through my career in utilities and through the military, I've been in the Coast Guard 19 and a half years now, so I got 6 more months to qualify for my 20 years, which was my original goal.
Wow, congratulations, thank you for your service.
Thank you, thank you. It's important to me that everything we do it's with an equity lens and social justice and making sure that we right the wrongs that we've done in the past from an infrastructure perspective and that we involve the community in that process. And this utility is serious about it, is authentic about it. And so I'm just super excited to be part of that movement.
Yeah. So equity is what attracted you to the position, not the $750,000 a year salary.
Wow.
And I don't want to hear any more about how expensive Los Angeles is. I'll take $750,000 and deal with the prices of $7 a gallon for gas. So, you know, you're in the utility slash resource business. You're in the water business, right? Like, we drink it. We pour it on our plants. We use it to put out fires. But this job is about social justice and equity. Let me ask you something. Do you think the wildfires, as they get ready to break out, they say, you know what? Let's wreak havoc on a certain race or a certain community. Do you think the fires say that to themselves?
Yes.
No, they don't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Fire her. That right there, that is exactly what has been wrong with this country for the last 4 years. Fire her and whoever thought she was best suited for the job.
So the bat, and I know that Michael Schellenberger, the investigative journalist, had a huge, like, you know, huge exclusive this weekend with a whistleblower.
Oh, he's been great.
He is great.
He is so good. And he's a left winger.
Yeah. He always has factual information and investigations that matter. So what he said about the water reservoir was that the reason that it was drained, this all goes back to environmental groups and lobbyists. So they decided that the huge reservoir needed a cover. There was a little rip or something wrong with the cover of the reservoir. And they decided that because of that and because of the, I'm, you know, summarizing here, the environmental reasons for this, they needed to drain it. He interviewed a whistleblower who came forward and said this huge reservoir should never have been drained in the first place. That was an absurd tactic for them to take. Had they had that water right there and it should have been there, the firefighters would have had the water they needed. And that's what we heard all weekend. We saw, you know, we saw the people who said they you know, decided to stay in their home. And they hosed down their house, the neighbor's house. And so if only those firefighters could have been wetting down those hot spots as it was, you know, the winds were whipping it through neighborhoods. What they're saying is they could have saved most of these neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
That's a sin.
There's no question that this could have been handled so much. And I'm not saying you prevent it from happening, right? But, I mean, you could have mitigated the damages exponentially. And then you've got Gavin Newsom tweeting, because all Gavin Newsom cares about is the slick back hair, the optics. You know, he's still trying to make that phone call to Joe, by the way. Look, I only have one bar. I don't have service, as he told that mom wearing a mask on Friday. Yeah, he tweeted Trump over the weekend saying, at real Donald Trump, as you prepare to assume the presidency once more, I invite you to come to California. The hundreds of thousands of Americans displaced from their homes and fearful for the future deserve to see us all working together in their best interests, not politicizing a human tragedy and spreading, here's the word again, disinformation from the sidelines. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Trump talked about it. Water starts at the top, works its way down. Trump talked about it before with the reservoirs. Yeah, you didn't have this reservoir online, 117 million gallons. You were more concerned about preserving the smelt fish. So when we see things like or hear...
Gavin Newsom says that's fake news, by the way. The smelt fish was fake news.
Is it fake?
That's what Gavin Newsom said.
Oh,
in his interview with Meet the Press yesterday.
I'm gonna have to do a little internet searching.
Well,
for a break.
But I think
the whole politicization. You're not politicizing it. Like this disaster is a direct result of failed policies and failed leadership. It's the essence of politics,
yes.
Right?
And that reservoir, it's 117 million gallons. It's a huge amount of water. That should have been sitting right there, should have been accessible. The fact that you had firefighters just standing by and they didn't have water. And over the weekend, the incredible video, and I retweeted it at some point, these water carrying airplanes, a lot of them from Canada, going into the Pacific Ocean and scooping up this water, which is like an air show feat in and of itself, scooping up the water and putting out the fires. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is now with the winds whipping up, I don't know if the chopper, because choppers over the weekend were scooping up huge buckets of water from people's swimming pools just to try to put out. So I don't know what's going to happen as these winds start whipping up. And then it returns and gets worse tomorrow into Wednesday.
Yeah. We're bringing a firefighter from Mexico. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
I know. I know.
Mexico and the pilots from Canada.
Yeah, I think we actually have the video. Phil, if you just want to roll this real quick. Yeah. There we go. Mexico to the rescue. Think about how embarrassing that is as you see that plane from Mexico. California likes to brag. Gavin Newsom likes to brag that California is the fifth largest economy, not in the United States, in the world. The fifth largest economy in the world, and we need firefighters from Mexico because we are depleted as a nation. Embarrassing.
Well, I don't think we are depleted. Well, California. I think the leadership is depleted.
I feel so voided as an American right now.
They have, you know, and people should learn from this. Policy matters. This is what we have here is a failure to lead,
yeah.
You know, not communicate. Well, failure to communicate, but a failure to lead.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this one, they've been warned. They've been warned for years.
Yep.
And I think isn't Arnold Schwarzenegger filming like a movie, a Santa movie? And somebody had asked the former governor about it. Even Schwarzenegger had come out and said that when they realized they had the warnings that this was dire, the mayor is, you know, 17 and a half hours away
in Ghana.
And at that point, the governor has the power. Remember when he said it's up to the local folks? At mm-hmm. that point, he had the emergency powers to step in, and he didn't.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. Hour two on the way. Dawn will have some news to kick off the second hour, and then we'll get to the third biggest story from the weekend, the Meta Zuckerberg revelations with online censorship, as Perm Boy sat down with Joe Rogan, and we'll give you some of the details when we come back. It's Kale and Company here on a Monday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.